Father, as we approach and kneel at the throne of grace, we first of all praise you and thank you for the access we have. That because of the finished work of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his shed blood, because of the forgiveness of sins that is provided for all who would believe, we can actually appear before the throne of grace. So, Father, we thank you for giving us this moment, this privilege of coming to you in prayer. May we be reminded that this can be a constant access, not just once a week or even once a day. And we lift up Joanne to you. Father, we know there are others who are hurting, those who are sick, struggling physically. Father, we also know there are those who are struggling spiritually, emotionally. Father, there's battles being fought on every front. But praise God, we have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. So may Joanne rest in that confident peace that her victory has already been won. And Father, for all of us here this morning, we pray that you would be etched upon our hearts. So Father, we thank you for your people, this assembly called the church, the body of Christ. May we truly be all that you've called us to be, of one people, one faith, one Lord, one hope, one baptism. And may Christ receive all the glory because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just a note on the baptisms. I think we're going to go ahead and schedule them at this point for February the 2nd. We've got a few more who have expressed interest, and I wish I'd have brought that little study guide with me. But if you are interested in baptism, or if you know someone, we have what Crystal O'Brien actually discovered this, and it was specifically, I guess, for children. But this thing is so good, everybody that's considering baptism needs to go through it, called Baptism 101. And I'm going through it with our kids right now, and we sit down and do scripture study together, and they answer the questions. But because we have a few more who have expressed interest, we're going to wait a couple more weeks. But February the 2nd, and listen, this is not limited. For goodness sakes, we don't have to have a special day. You can be baptized anytime that you so desire as a follower of Jesus Christ. But a special day being planned for February. I don't know how many of you have a liking for Southern gospel music. But I have an appreciation for all music. I mean, I really do. I don't know that you can actually classify Christian or non-Christian music. Now, hear me. You can definitely classify saying, man, you talk about solid theology. No matter how you set that, whatever tone or tune you set that to, the teaching is going to be the same if we read the lyrics. And that's why there's a great appreciation for so many of the old hymns, because they taught so much solid theology, but also the new praise songs, if you listen to them. So just a word of encouragement. I've always said, you know, if there's a song that's sang that isn't in your particular wheelhouse of likes, then why don't you just pause and give thanks to God for the other folks that are being blessed by it? You know, it's okay if one isn't quite your favorite. But for someone else, they may be getting their socks blessed off. So praise God for it, okay? Amen. But I, we've spent enough time here. But when I got saved, Northland Christian Church used to have Saturday Night Alternative. Did anybody ever go to the Saturday Night Alternative at Northland Christian Church? There's some. Southern Gospel. They had Southern Gospel groups. And that's where I started. Right after I got saved, people say, hey, why don't you come up to Northland with us? Well, we lived in Auburn. That's quite a little jaunt. But anyway, so I kind of cut my spiritual teeth on Southern Gospel and still have an appreciation for today. Well, enough about that. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. God is our refuge. God is our refuge. We're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to talk about and discuss with our time together here with the sufficiency of Christ. And this is at least part one of unknown number. But I really feel led to spend some time reaffirming, establishing this little mini-series in the beginning. And where is the beginning? Genesis. Okay. Now, everybody understands that Jesus shows up in Genesis 2, right? Not in Genesis 2, Genesis also. How's that? But he is the thread that holds Scripture together. He's found everywhere in Scripture. So let's start by looking back, and we're going to look at, in my own way, I believe it was God's ark. Is that fair? Okay. Noah built it, but it was God's ark. So let's stand. Let's stand as we read from Genesis chapter 6. Filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. And its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above. And set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But, verse 18, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Father, we pray that as we examine this great account of history, that you will impress upon our hearts how critical, how important it is to understand what Christ has provided for us. And we ask it so that he might be glorified in his name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, in Scripture, we find what is commonly referred to as types or typology. And the ark that we see in this story is what we clearly understand as a type of Christ, a type of Christ. It's a picture or a portrait of Jesus Christ. So with this illuminating picture, we find our salvation also explained. Even in Peter's first epistle, he makes a comparison between the ark that Noah built, and Jesus Christ. The salvation and the ark were planned by God. This did not have its origin in the mind or consciousness of man. It was planned specifically by God. And I want to point out, and we'll cover a little bit more of this in just a moment, but notice the details. God was very concerned that Noah would get the details right. This also is a picture of our salvation. Folks, we got to understand God's detailed plan, and we cannot, must not alter it. It must be according to God's design if you are going to be saved. Do you see what he's saying here? If you don't follow his specific instructions, there is no salvation. Folks, that's important. that we understand that salvation is exclusively found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So we see in here too that there's only one way of salvation. The ark, we're playing, not invented by humans. There's only one way of salvation. There's only one door in the ark. The ark was made of wood. This would speak of not only Christ's humanity, but I think it points towards the cross. He had to be born as a man in order to save us. The word for pitch in 6:14 is the same word that is found, and it's the same word for atonement as found in the New Testament. So Romans 8, and something else, we see, why did God preserve all of creation? Why did he do that? Couldn't he just recreate? Well, folks, it's a picture of the resurrection, that life is returned. Romans 8, verses 18 through 23 says, "For consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And this is what Paul says next. "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself would be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we eagerly await for the adoption of sons, the redemption of our bodies." So what Paul is saying here is when sin entered the world, everything suffered. Everything suffered. All of creation suffered. And since that time, there's been a groaning from all of creation that we would experience the final and total redemption. So let's look at five things this morning. That's 10. Let's look at five things this morning. Five things that will give us a clear portrait of the person and the work, the provision and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Number one, the ark proved sufficient for the storm. Now this is applicable on several levels, but verses 19 through 22... of chapter 6, "And of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds according to their kinds, of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind. Two of every sort shall come in to you to keep them alive. Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them." Noah did this. He did all that God commanded. Folks, that's huge. Again, do you see the details in this? This is not a haphazard plan, a last-ditch effort just to save a few folks and a few animals. This is a specific plan ordered by God to preserve his creation. Every detail of the ark was by God's design. It had to be perfect in order to save Noah and his family. And listen, nothing like this had ever been built before, just like the person of Jesus Christ. Nothing like him has ever appeared before, nor will anything like him ever appear again until he himself comes back. It was by God's specific plan, not man's. Man simply had to obey and do it God's way. Listen, if there's anything, any part of the ark that failed, what would have happened? It all had to fit. You know what I thought of too? And we got a couple old Navy guys back here. Gary could tell you all about water displacement when a ship sets sail. You know, God had to understand water displacement too. In other words, what if he'd have put too much weight in there? Water to come over the sides, right? The mass had to fit the water displacement. It had to flow. Be perfect. So it is in Christ. Christ was also perfect for the task given him. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Secondly, the ark provided security during the storm. In chapter 7, verses 17 and 18, the flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the waters. Oh my goodness, folks, don't miss that. Don't miss that. The details, the picture, we just imagine it. And there are people, oh my goodness, there are the doubters and the naysayers who say, well, don't you think that was just a fable? Don't you think that was just a fairy tale? I think it's true. I believe it's true. Jesus thought it was true. Peter thought it was true. The writers of Scripture thought it was true. I believe we can count on this story as being true. Amen. So notice the water prevailed, the ark floated. That's it. The waters prevailed, the ark floated. That's all we need to understand. You know, it really is. That's the basis of our salvation. No matter what happens in the world around us, no matter what kind of storm comes, no matter how high the water gets, no matter how viciously it rages, those who are in Christ prevail. We float above. All right? And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. God's not missing a thing. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarmed on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land and those in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, God went to such great detail in this to try to get us to understand how complete and total the destruction was. So he had to build us up to that last statement, just describing this annihilation, this total destruction of humanity and creation, everything on the earth wiped out, clean, dead, nothing left but Noah and those with him on the ark. So the ark provided security. Do you think Noah and his family understood everything that was going on? What do you think's going through their heads? 370 days in this box. Okay? And by the way, it wasn't a boat. I call it a box. That's really a pretty good description. It was a barge. It was just a floating barge was what it was, if you look at the design. Can you imagine just waiting? Knowing that everything you had known was being swept away. Have you ever been there? In the midst of life when it seems like everything is being swept away? That the flood is just too much? The flood is just too great? The water is just too deep? And I really don't know if I will ever set foot on dry ground again. Have you been there? The winds, the waves, the waiting, the waiting. Guys, I don't know about you, but waiting kills me. It kills me. A little bit of me dies every time I check out at Walmart. Amen. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above and set the door of the ark in its side. One door in all this extravagant design in three decks. Remember the scripture said there's three decks inside. We have a roof over the top. Now, efficiency would suggest that you'd need two or three entrances, right? One door. One door. And who's in charge of the door? God is. And rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and three wives of his son with them entered the ark. They and every beast, according to its kind. and all the livestock according to their kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh, in which there was the breath of life, and those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God has commanded him, and the Lord shut the door. The Lord shut the door. Not only is Christ perfect for the task, he is sovereign, and nobody or nothing can undo what he has done. Christ is the door. Jesus again said to them, John chapter 10, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." He will be saved. Jesus was there that day when everyone entered the ark. Number three, the ark provided safety through the storm. We have no record of any leaks. Is there any record of any leaks in the ark? You know, I've ridden on some very fairly primitive craft in some of my missionary travels. And on some of those travels, you have two or three crew members in a very small boat. And at least one of them has a bucket. At least one of them has a bucket. And sometimes they rotate, because these boats leak, and there has to be a bailer in the boat. We have no record of Noah calling a bailer. We have no record of any leaks. Remember the pitch? Remember that pitch? Again, detail, till the tar-like substance that covered the ark inside and out. This is total protection, guys. Total protection, inside and out. This is the atonement that keeps us safe and secure. And when life storms come, please note this most critical verse in the flood account. Please do not miss this. It's found in chapter 8, verse 1. When the floods of life come, when the water is overwhelming you, when you think you're going to sink and not swim, when it seems like an impossibility that there will ever be recovery, but God remembered Noah. Don't miss that. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. Folks, for those of you who have been in the storm, have you ever ridden out the subsiding waters also? Maybe you're waiting right now for the waters to subside. Know this, God has not forgotten you. He's not forgotten you. I don't know that there's any other verse in Scripture. That's a pretty bold statement, but I don't know that there's any other verse in Scripture that can inspire more hope for the believer than to read, "And God remembered Noah." In the midst of the storm, in the midst of all of this death and destruction that had occurred, everything that Noah and his family had ever known was gone. Everything was gone. But God remembered them. He remembered them. It does not mean that God had a sudden recall. It means that our God never forgets. And folks, if you're here today and you're struggling and you are a child of God, He will get you home safely. He will. And because of the deity of Christ, He not only commands the winds and the waves, He is the ark on top. He's the ark on top. Point number four, and finally, the ark is our final rest and future resurrection after all the storms have passed. Chapter 8, verse 2. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed. The rain from the heavens was restrained, and the waters receded from the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the waters had abated, and in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. You see, the ark made it. The ark made it. And you know, they've been looking for it ever since. Amen? You know? They've been looking for the ark ever since. And for many, it's a noble search. They're doing it for the right reasons. But for many, they're spending way too much time looking for a decaying piece of wood and missing the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the ark. Eternal ark. Everyone made it just fine. 370 days. You know, God had given them 120 years. If we go back a little further, Genesis. God had given them 120 years from his announcement that he was going to judge to the time Noah and his family boarded the ark. You think our God isn't patient? He's patient. He's patient. So not only did the ark rest, but all inside rested. Everything had held up just fine. 370 days of food and shelter. That's mind-boggling. That's mind-boggling. And I want to put a plug in right now, very quickly. If you want to plan a family vacation, grandparents, take your grandkids. That's a good way to spend some time with them. Make your way out to Kentucky and visit the ark. Yes, we have the Ark of the Covenant, or not the Ark, the Ark of Noah built right here in the good old U.S. of A. You know I was going to make that Freudian slip sooner or later, wouldn't you? But I encourage you, we traveled out there this last summer, this last fall, and we went, have done out there. And I tell you what, you could spend more than a whole day. More than a whole day there. And what is so beautiful about that experience is you see firsthand how logistically perfect it was, and it wasn't an impossibility by God's design. This thing was completely functional. Now, they've had to take a little bit of liberty on how to dispose of all the waste, but they also show how that could have been very easily done. All the food storage, very easily accomplished. So, but not only is the ark of the ark a picture of our rest, but also our resurrection. Let me continue reading in chapter 8. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. That is the resurrection. That's the resurrection. By the way, Noah's name means comfort, rest, or restore. Interesting side note. Wiersbe gives us a summary of this. He says, "The ark saved Noah and his family from judgment because they believed God's promises. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. This is Hebrews 11:7. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Continuing, Christ saves us from the wrath to come as we believe in him. In 1 Peter 3, connects the task, the ark with the resurrection of Christ. The waters buried the old world but raised Noah to a new life. Noah was faithful to obey all that God commanded. Jesus said, I went through the flood of suffering, Psalm 42, and came out in victory. Noah went out of the ark, the head of a new creation with his family. Christ came out of the tomb, the head of the new creation and the father of a new family. Noah went through the judgment and was kept safe, just as the believing Jewish remnant will go through the tribulation to establish the kingdom on earth. Enoch was raptured before the judgment came, just as the church will be raptured before the wrath of God poured out upon the whole world. Amen. Amen. That is a complete, complete story of what Christ has done. And Christ himself teaches us that we are to take heed and pay close attention to this story of Noah. Matthew 24. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. But keep in mind that the days of Noah were also a days of witness. In fact, God had told Enoch that the judgment was 120 years of that same period. Noah was preaching while he was preparing. What a conclusion. But folks, the point of this story, well, there's a couple of points. First of all, God's grace is going to run out one of these days. And what that means is, he's going to close the door of the ark. He's going to close the door of the ark. Everybody that's in is everybody that's in. And everybody that's left out will perish in the judgment. Folks, I can't think of everything that we've shared here this morning. I can't think of a better inspiration to go out and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is patient. He's waited a long time. And we don't have any idea how much longer it's going to be. But it will someday be a closed door. And no one will ever have the opportunity to enter again. Father, we thank you for this account from Scripture. Lord, this portrait, this picture, the ark, a foreshadowing of Christ. But Father, I pray that if there be anyone here today that has not entered through the door, that they would make that journey today. I pray that they would make that decision. And Father, for those who are already securely placed in Christ, I pray that you will renew their strength, that you will reinforce the comfort and peace that come through Christ, and that you will just personally, by your Spirit, let each person here today know that they will make it safely home if they are in Christ today. No storm, no catastrophic event, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So, Father, for your glory, may Christ welcome more today. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.